Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Choose Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil to provide maximum performance and protection for your engine. Get a $15 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge for $34.95. Plus, 2 times O Rewards points. Offer valid in-store and online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful, here with a name you know. How could you not know him? You know him from a little bit everywhere, from WCW, from WWE. Now you're going to know him from MLW Super Fight 6 in Atlanta. We saw him take over the show recently to great reviews, mind you. It's Eric Bischoff. Eric, how you doing? It's great to see you again.
Good to be seen, as I said before we went on the air. At this stage of life, anytime you're seen, it's a good day. So happy to be here.
It is a good day. It's going to be a good day in February at MLW Super Fight 6. How did you get in touch with MLW to join the fold there?
We've had numerous conversations, I would say, over the last 4, 5, 6 years, maybe. But it's, you know, either because of my schedule or whatever, there's always been a conflict and it's never worked out for me to be able to make an appearance in MLW. And the last time they reached out, I thought, you know what, I need to have some fun. I need to get out of the house and kind of put my toe in the water and see if I can still have fun doing this stuff. Cause it's really been a long time since I've been out in front of the camera as a performer. And it was a good opportunity. So I took it and I was in New York in December and had a blast, enjoyed myself. It was a little rough. I believe it or not, there is ring rust for non-wrestling characters as well. So I kind of stumbled through a few things that made me a little uncomfortable with my own performance and thought, okay, I don't want to go out quite like that. I want to go out at the top of my game or as close to it as I could get. So I said, let's do one more. Let me get out there in front of that crowd one more time and see if I can stir some shit.
I remember something that you told me that always stuck with me, and it's before you even went back to WWE. And I was like, what was one thing you would change about WWE? And you said, it's so polished that nothing seems spontaneous. And that stuck with me so much because I have seen eras where companies and places have tried to really employ that, where it can't be too overproduced because then you just assume that everything is meant to happen. How do you feel wrestling companies do these days compared to that? I know that with drones and any number of things, it's the ease of production is there, but also it's harder than ever to be spontaneous because a lot of people are plugged in.
Well, I mean, the spontaneity comes from the creative side of things and planning. The production values and the sense of things being overproduced, that's more of a technical approach to the product. And, you know, early on in early AEW and in 2019, 2020 or 2020 WWE, I felt like the WWE product was too polished. It was too well produced. I felt like I was watching Disney on ice. And I think wrestling is better suited for feeling like you're in the arena. You almost want to approach the product from a production perspective. I know this will sound crazy, but in a way that the fans at home can almost smell the arena, almost yes. Smell the stale beer, almost smell the bad popcorn. You want to make the audience feel like they're actually there. And sometimes overproduction, as cool as it is, can take you out of that kind of state of mind, right? And early AEW, I think, did a good job of creating that sense of feeling like you're sitting at ringside and making you feel like you were in the arena versus WWE in 2019, 2020 was, like I said, it was just too perfect. I didn't feel like I was there. Now, fast forward, here we are, 2025. The WWE product is still, in my opinion, highly produced, but done so in a way to make you feel like you're in that arena. you know, the follow-on entrances, for example, from out of the car all the way down into the ring. I feel like I'm walking behind that talent as they're making their arrival. I feel like I'm walking through the crowd as they're making their way off, down the ramp to the ring. So while WWE is now probably more produced than ever, it's being produced at a very high level, but in a way that makes me feel like I'm there. I can almost smell the popcorn when I'm walking behind the talent, walking into the ring. AEW has kind of, they maintained, you know, they haven't increased their production values, of course. They haven't really lost any production values, other than the fact that it's hard to get excited about being in a crowd of 1,500 people. It emotionally takes the viewer kind of out of the, wow, I'm at a cool event. Now you're just showing up at a party where not too many people really want to come. And that's a different vibe. So, I mean, that's, you know, TNA, I think, is still the little bit I've seen, and it's mostly been on clips, is still kind of the old production format from, you know, probably 15, 20 years ago. It's not bad. It's just not advanced either. But they're, you know, they're making subtle, interesting, incrementally positive moves over there. So, you know, time will tell.
Speak. You mentioned WWE. You've been involved in the last three WWE video games, and this is not your first rodeo. Back in the day, WCW, who had some bangers of video games, I think ushered in the new era of great video games. For a person like you, what do you have to do involving the video game, or is there anything? Are they bringing you in for reference shots, scanning, anything like that these days?
I don't do shit, bro. I don't even know which game. I don't even know which games I'm in.
I love it. You
know, the only time I know I'm in a video game is when I get a royalty check a couple times a year. I go, oh, it's a video game royalty. Oh, I didn't even know I was in one. That's awesome.
I love that. Because, like, today, I mean, you can create somebody from scratch. There are so many, very talented creators who are just fans who create people from scratch. It feels like they don't even need to scan people anymore. But, like, how big was that type of deal for WCW back then? Because there were not like a wealth of great wrestling video games then. And I remembered back then as a child, like people were like, oh, we're going over here Friday night. We're going to play WCW Revenge.
Yeah. Well, that game was a particularly well-produced game, by the way. It got a lot of positive feedback from the video game market at the time. But you know, what's interesting is I didn't know, and I still don't know much about the video game industry. It was never a segment of the business that I spent a lot of time delving into and understanding, to be frank. So I knew it was popular. I knew it was a big moneymaker. But back when WCW first broke into that market, it was an emerging marketplace. There certainly were. The video game business was strong back then. But wrestling video games they'd been around, but they were emerging in a new way. And I didn't really understand the scope of it all at that time. Again, it wasn't a segment of the business that I focused on. So I relied on other people who did focus on it to bring us good opportunities. So I just got to sit back and watch all the fun and watch it grow. It was great.
Well, you weren't exactly a stranger to the game industry. And one of my favorite podcasts you ever did highlighted Ninja Star Wars, and I gotta be honest,
oh yeah,
listening to that, I was like, that sounds pretty fucking awesome. Like, I was like sitting there with my wife, and like we would go to Nerf things and stuff like that where they have like Nerf battles in our city, and I'm like, no, that sounds awesome. Like, this game sounds awesome. When's the last time you've seen a physical Ninja Star Wars game?
Actually, WWE came out about 2 years ago, came out to my home, and I don't know what we were producing. I've done a bunch of them, so I can't remember which project they were filming for, but they wanted me to talk about the game in detail, and they asked me if I could possibly find one. Now, keep in mind, this is, you know, almost 36 years ago or whatever it was, 38. So I called Sonny Ono, my friend, who is the biggest pack rat I've ever met in my life. He saves everything.
Yes.
Everything. And I called Sonny. I said, Sonny, do you happen to have one of those games laying around the house? And of course he did. I knew he would.
Love it.
And he sent me an entire game still in the package, the original package. And we took it out and I demonstrated how to play it. But that was, you know, a couple of years ago. Up until that point, I hadn't seen one in, I don't know, 30 some odd years.
I'm shocked it hasn't been ripped off. Like it since has. Like to a prominent. Oh, it has.
Oh yeah, it has. You can buy them today. It's not called Ninja Fantastic. Star Wars, and it's got a different name. But you can go on Google. If you spend, you know, 2 minutes, you can figure it out. You'll find it. They still sell the. It's a direct ripoff, and you can still buy it.
I would like that's the type of thing. Like as a kid, I would have geeked out over playing. Like I would have absolutely loved that. We have a segment here that we simply call. Where I show you photographs throughout my career. I am very interested to hear, like, maybe what went into some of these, including this one, which I feel like is a pretty prominent photo that a lot of people have seen over the years. It is yourself, Scott Norton, Rick Rude, Buff Bagwell, Nash Hogan, Conan, and all. This was all over the magazines back in the day. Like, I remember this was, like, if you needed an NWO reference shot in a wrestling magazine, that's the one that was used. Oh, does that jog any memories for you?
Well, I mean, memories in general, sure. That was clearly almost immediately after the famous Montreal Screwdrop, because you saw Ric Flair in there, or excuse me, Rick Rude in the ring with us in his suit and tie. So it might have been the.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Same night. Not sure. Could have been Rude's first night, and it was probably a photographer, perhaps in WCW, but likely outside of the company, said, hey, let's get you all in a ring together, Alan. Just a spontaneous moment.
I have often said I learned more about North Korea from the NWO than I did public school, like Scott Norton talking about it, and then like you providing the information about the collision in Korea. Like I learned more from wrestling about North Korea than public school. And I think that speaks volumes.
Well, it speaks volumes about the public school system, yes. Number one. But you know, it's a hermit country. I mean, the reason the average American doesn't know anything about Korea, North Korea, other than what they hear in the news, which is limited, is because nobody gets to get in and out. You know, you don't see anything. You don't get a snapshot into what the world is like from that perspective, which is why going to North Korea, I probably will go to my grave saying this, was one of the most fascinating aspects of my career, because I literally stepped foot into a world that I didn't know existed, that I was unable to comprehend before I got there. And I haven't seen anything like it since. It was an amazing experience.
Here's one that I love. You getting your head shaved, Eric Bischoff. I understand this was for a good cause.
Oh, yeah. That was for after shows, and we raised a bunch of money for St. Jude. I think we raised like $15,000.
That's fantastic.
But you notice, you know, my ego is such that I had to grow a beard out if I was going to be if my head was going to be shaved, because, you know, I had still, people had to know there was still some testosterone flowing through my veins.
This is something that you've done a few times, though, like gotten your head shaved on TV, Mick Foley. I know, back in WCW. I mean,
Ric Flair did it.
Yeah, you've always been willing to go that extra mile for the sake of entertainment, and in this case, a good cause.
Well, part of it was that. Part of it was self-serving. You know, when Ric Flair popped my maiden bald cherry, it was because I was so tired of dyeing my hair. My hair back then, it's different now, and I'm telling you the truth. My hair was really thick and heavy and coarse, and it grew about a quarter of an inch a week.
Yes.
And my hair back in the late 90s is the same color it is now, almost. It's a little more white now than it was silver then, but it was like platinum. And I'd have to dye my hair every week. And there was a couple of times that I'd use that cheap stuff, you know, because my hair was long. And what it would do is it would kind of part itself in the middle. And then I had this silver streak going down the top of my head. I looked like Pepe Le Pew, the cartoon skunk.
From where your roots are going out. I love it.
I got tired of painting it. So I said, let's come up with an angle where I could shave my head. And that's the reason I did it the first time. And I ended up dyeing my hair again when I went back to WWE, because that's what Stephanie wanted. But I was like, oh, free at last. I don't have to dye my hair anymore. Free at last.
Fantastic. Here's a beautiful one. Look at this. Look at these two guys. I love this era of back and forth. This was the authority figure, I think, like at some of its peak, because we had a guy like Steve Austin who was impossibly over, and a guy like you who had done all that you had done, and we knew there was real conflict there in the past.
It was such a fun time for me in terms of performing in a storyline. Without question, working with Steve Austin during that whole co-GM run and leading up to a match at No Way Out, that was the absolute most fun I've ever had on a week-to-week basis in the wrestling industry, because you never knew what was going to happen. You know, we had a general idea because people would give us scripts, but see, Steve Austin at the time was one of the few people that would go, oh, thanks for the script. All right, here's what we're going to do. And it was all improv. And Steve Austin, the guys who were best at improv for me, were number one, Steve Austin, right there with him, Mick Foley. These were guys you could get in the ring with no script, have a general idea of what you should accomplish because you know where you're going in the next big match or pay-per-view or whatever the case may be. And you could just go out there and wing it, and it would be gold. You were spinning gold out there, and you had no idea what you were going to say when you got into the ring. You're just feeding off each other, which is, you know, that's real acting. You know, when you're reacting to something you didn't expect and you're doing it in a controlled manner that advances your character or story, that's real acting. I'm not an actor. I've never taken acting lessons, but I know some people that have. And when you have somebody like Steve Austin or Mick Foley, where you could just go out there and, you know, gunsling it and still tell a great story, is the most rewarding experience.
Was there any point where you were concerned you were going to get run over by an ATV?
Nah, no fear. there was a great backstory between Steve and I. Many, many years of backstory. Eric Bischoff fired him with FedEx because he was injured. You know, this is pretty fucking evil. It's not really the story,
yes,
but it's the story that was out there. And, you know, the audience knew about that. And, you know, they wanted Steve to come back so badly to WWE. And that's a very valuable kind of asset to have when the fans desperately want to see somebody back. It's pretty hard to screw it up. So now you take somebody like Steve, who the fans desperately wanted to see come back. Now you're slamming him into a story with a guy who screwed him over and treated him badly and unfairly, but now is in power. How could you have a more perfect setup than that?
Yes.
And then, like I say, Steve was at the top of his game. He was so over. He was so good and so much fun to work with. That's why it was the most fun thing I've ever done.
Look at this. WCW Hardcore Champion, Eric Bischoff, with the hair that you mentioned, mind you.
Yeah, and did you see that mullet? I had like a half-assed mullet going on. What a goofy look. That was so goofy.
I've been through that awkward stage before, like when I did the long hair. Does being Hardcore Champion jog any memories?
An embarrassing one. You know, it was like, that was Russo's idea. It wasn't my idea. I went along with it.
Shocked. So I'm shocked.
So I'm just as guilty, if not more so, because I could have said no, but I didn't. And look, I'm grateful that I actually got to get in the ring and have a quote-unquote match with Terry Funk.
I mean, it's pretty incredible.
I don't know if I'd call it a match, but, you know, technically speaking, it was a match. But just to have that experience with a guy like Terry Funk, the time we spent going into the match before we ever got to the ring, the time we had after the match was over, a subsequent, you know, short road trip we had together in the back of a limo after that, at least gave me the opportunity to say that I got to know Terry Funk a little bit, and I'm grateful for that.
As we wrap up, MLW coming up, it's Super Fight 6 in Atlanta. How have you enjoyed your MLW experience so far?
Great people, very open-minded, very creative, talented, and they're passionate. You know, they're trying hard, and I like that. You know, I make a habit when people reach out to me that are starting a podcast or, and a lot of times they're just wrestling fans and they've never been in radio before. They've never done anything before, but they're really passionate. They want to try a podcast. They reach out to me and inevitably I do at least one or two, sometimes more a month, because I like to help people who are trying to build something from the ground up. It's a quality of character that I respect in a person. And these guys are trying hard and they're doing a good job with limited resources. So I'm looking forward to it. It's back in Atlanta. It's kind of a semi homecoming for me, at least from a wrestling perspective. So going back to Atlanta, being in center stage, oh my gosh, talk about full circle. I'm looking forward to it, man. And the weather's nicer in Atlanta than it is in Cody, Wyoming. So I'll take that too.
Even under in Kentucky, we're under ice right now. My God. Well, the card as things stand, Alex Kane, Matt Riddle, Kojima. You've got Dijak versus Tom Lawler. That'll be physical. Bret Ryan Goslin against Paul London in a honey trap match. And, of course, you can see Eric Bischoff in Atlanta Saturday, February 8th. Eric, tell the people where else they can find you. I know you've always got a lot going on. Of course, you got the podcast and much more.
Yeah, I mean, the podcast is the place, 83weeks.com. That'll take you to wherever I am when I'm doing anything wrestling-wise. Having a lot of fun on YouTube. Obviously, the podcast has been a real gift over the last 6 years. I think we've got over, I don't know, 700 hours of content we've created, and I still enjoy every minute of it. You know, every time we hit record, I'm having a blast with Conrad, so very grateful for that.
Guys, we encourage you to check that out and check out MLW Super Fight. Until next time, my friends, we're out. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.